And we continue on First Peter. If you read the whole book, then you can, if you highlight the suffering, whatever suffering, suffering, and then you highlight, then you can find out maybe 12 times or 16 times, depend on your version of your Bible. So the whole book actually talking about the suffering. Okay. But during the suffering, it will produces the hope. So the whole book will tell us the hope through trials, through sufferings, hope. Yeah. And this is the greatest grace from our Lord, from our God. So even we encounter trials, tribulations, difficulties, but we still can keep smiling. That's our privilege. So remember, when you encounter difficulties, disappointment, or frustration, then you lose your heart. You feel so sorry, you feel depressed. Then you have to pray until you regain the joy, you regain the peace. Continue praying. So chapter one, they talk about the salvation. Because of salvation, then we have hope. Without salvation, then we do not hope. And salvation through we're born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. This great salvation. And we're born because Jesus has been raised from the dead. And this matters through the great power of God. And in chapter 2, talking about reborn, rebirth. And chapter 3, talking about the good deed, and good deed including submission. And chapter 4, talking about the sufferings, so this emphasizes on suffering. Okay, so we move on to chapter 4. Therefore, so we can see if you find a therefore, which means previously, stated some reason already. So therefore, like we receive the blessings, we receive salvation, then we should do what? It's our duty, our part. We have to do our best to match up Jesus' grace. So therefore, since Christ, and the verse, okay, let me set the outline first. From verse 1 to verse 6, is talking about the benefit of sufferings. Sufferings. Of course, nobody wants to go through sufferings, because sufferings means pain. We will experience pain, we will experience a loss. Nobody wants to feel pain, and nobody wants to experience a loss. And from 7 to verse 12, it's talking about the way of suffering, the way of suffering, how to go through the sufferings. Because this is God's purpose, this is God's will, want us to go through, but how? So the Bible also offers the way for us. Then the last part, from 12 to 19, they're talking about the hope of sufferings. After we go through the sufferings, then we will receive the glory, like Jesus Christ. He suffered for us. Right? Then eventually, he received the glory from God. So let's go back to verse one. Therefore, since Christ has suffered for us, in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Of course, you know, sometimes whatever says in the Bible is different from the society. Because in the society, usually, we have to arm ourselves with gun, you know, like a security guard. They armed with a gun, right? And they armed with a knife. They armed the bad guy, armed with a knife, so they will stab some people. And for scholars, they might arm with knowledge, but with knowledge. But the Bible tells so differently, right? So what we should arm them with? So arm them with the same mind as Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, he make determination to suffer for us. So we should have the same mind as Jesus Christ. And the David said, actually the suffering has benefit to me, the benefit. So how come he said the suffering is good to me? It's good to you? It's good to you? David, suffering is good to you? In the long run. Okay, for the long run. Okay, good. For the long run. How long? 1 year, 2 years? Okay, depends. That's timing, right? Yeah, okay, good. So for the long run, we can see the benefit. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Verse 71. Psalm 119. Verse 71. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statute. Afflicted, suffering, means suffering, afflicted. In Chinese, I say, 功课几身, 功课, 克服几身, 功课几身都一样. So beat yourself, beat your body. Of course, right now, nobody beat you, right? Nobody brings suffering to you. Your parents also protect you so thoroughly. Try to do their best to assure you, protect you. So who can affect you? Nobody. Only God. So God wants you to beat yourself, beat your body. So beat our mind. It's good for us. This David gave us the advice. Especially in the Lamentations, said it's good for youth to be suffered, to have a carry burden, carry yoke when in the youth. The year when my daughter graduated from college, and because you know, college student, they rent a house right from September to next year September, the whole year. They rent the apartment. But graduation date is in the end of May, middle of May. So the apartment would be empty or vacancy during June, July, and August, okay, 3 months. So everybody tried to rent out. And her classmate is rent out already. But my daughter still cannot rent out after graduation. Then she just called me, said, Dad, I am Christian. I cannot rent out of my house, but my classmates, not members. How come they rent out their apartment already, but I did not? In my deep heart, I feel so joyful. I feel so joyful. Why? I, as a father, I joy over My daughter did not went out while other classmates went out already. Why? Because I consider this tribulation for her, this suffering for her. So she got to learn how to pray to God, how to experience God. It's a good opportunity. It's a good time. Otherwise, how your parents bring the suffering to you, right? Parents always try to protect children. So this is a great opportunity. So I feel so joyful. And I just told her, you got to pray to God, then God will help you. Then next week, she, thank God, she rented the apartment out. So indeed, suffering is good for the youth, even for everybody, for all the members. Then why should we suffer? Suffer, we have to go through pain and loss, right? But why God allow us to suffer? Because many members or many Christians said, God is a merciful God. Even non-believers also challenge God, right? Because your God is really God, then he is love, he is merciful. How come he bring disasters in this world? He allowed sufferings happened to Christians. Why? Let's turn to James. James. Chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how, says look, right, see. So just draw everybody's attention, you and me. So see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and later rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So farmers, of course, in everyday life, they are so laborers. They have to go to the field, then to do this, to do that, right? And even the raining or sunny, they have to go out to work because for the harvest. They're waiting for the harvest. So for the farmer, he knew, if I work hard right now, and some days later, I will receive a harvest. So what you sow, what you reap, right? So we have to suffer. Because when you sow, you have to go out, right? And then even the sunshine, the temperature is going up to 110 degrees, you still have to go out to sow your seed. Otherwise, how come you can expect the harvest, right? So you have to go out. And when you go out, this process is so painful. This process is so deliberate. It's become burdensome because we have to go out. In the same way, why you study so hard, right? Why you have to study so hard? Why you have to get up early morning, in the early morning, because you want to study hard, you want to get a good grade, you want to apply to a good college, right? You want to have a good future. So you study hard right now, then you suffer, Now, when I study the junior high school, because I live in a small town, and the junior high school High school in the big city, So every morning, I will get up so early and study, and then have a breakfast, then take a bus to another city to join the high school. And high school, the first class starts from 7:30, and before the first class, we have some ceremony, you know, like raise up the flag, the national flag, like American flag. Yeah. And then we have some ceremony, and the principals will give us some message. So maybe 7 o'clock, we have to be there. Not 7, maybe 6:30. We have to be there. So I have to get up so early. This is supper, right? Maybe 5 o'clock, I have to get up from the bed. There's no choice. So in the same way, the supper from our expectation, from our hope, because we expect something happen to us in the near future. And the second, continue on verse 10. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. So in the early days, in the Old Testament, many prophets suffered because when they want to prophesy in the right way in God's message, then they might suffer the persecution because nobody want to hear any bad message, any cursed message, any warning. Everybody want to listen good word. You are so beautiful, you are so nice, right? You are so kind, you are so rich, you are so smart. Yeah, me too, I like to listen to such kind of message. Right? This, because we are human being. Nobody wants to listen some criticism about us. Everybody wants to listen, good, you are so beautiful, you are so nice. Right? You are so handsome. You say, no. Right? But you might be happy, you might be happy in your heart. Right? Mm. Pastor, yes, say, I'm so handsome. Yeah. You are so nice. You are so kind. Yeah, right. You are so polite. Yeah. You are so, what else? Anyway, we like to listen to such kind of message. Right? But all prophets proclaim God's message, God's warnings. Yeah. If you did not follow the word of God, you will die. And nobody say, have died. Then they persecute prophet. So they have to suffer. Have suffer for good work. Suffer for righteousness. Suffer for faithfulness. Because they are so faithful to God. They preach the God's message. Follow the God's message. So sometimes, in the same way, we will suffer for righteousness. When you want to do good, then your friend might isolate you, separate you because you are so different. The first time they might invite you to have a party, birthday party, or stay overnight. And it's, no, start, I have to go to church. And next time they invite you again, they want to be friends with you because you are so nice. They want to make a good friend, make a nice friend, but you reject, you say, sorry, I have to go to church, sorry. So a third time, they might give up, right? Because every time when I invite you to go out for shopping, or for the party, for the movie, and always you say no, then no more, right? Then all your friends will isolate you. Then next time, if you have anything to invite you, invite them to join your party or join to our church, right? Join the service, they might say no. Because last time you said no, so I will say no to you either. So it's tough for us. Right? Sometimes we want to do good, but then reject them. Right? So they might isolate you. But this, don't worry, because prophet, they encounter the same situation, experience the same. Then, continue on verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, the mention about Job. And in the beginning, when Job suffered, he lost everything he had, even including 10 sons of the properties. And he didn't know why, no reason why. Even his three good friends gave him some advice, but it's not right reason. It's not right, it's not correct. So for sometimes we suffer for no reason. To us, of course, we didn't know the reason, right? Why I followed the instruction on the highway, but the police still called me. Police still called me, still stopped me for no reason. Police said, hey, stop, right? Then show me your license, show me your ID. I said, what's wrong with me? Police said, talk to judge, don't talk to me. You know, police was like this, talk to judge. Don't talk to me. Then, oh, high speed, right? Over speed. But actually, only 70 miles per hour. But I said, over speed. Yeah. And then I said, you are fat, you are tired. It's not full air, dangerous. So I'll give you a ticket. Unreasonable. For no reason, right? A job for no reason. Only God knows, right? God knows. God knows the purpose. But for we as a human being, we didn't know. And sometimes we suffer because we made mistakes. Yeah, we made mistakes. And then one time, when I still pastor in Houston Church, and one time I want to go back to Chicago because my house in Chicago, so I have to go back to Chicago. And I book a ticket in the early morning, maybe 7, I forgot the exact time, but like around 7 o'clock. I set my alarm. And next morning, the day before, I set up alarm. And in the morning, when I woke up, wow, 7 o'clock already. 7 o'clock already. So to me, there's no way, because from Houston Church to airport, I need a 1 hour drive. 1 hour drive, right? So if I didn't do anything, I just drive my car to airport. When I arrived there, 8 o'clock already. I cannot catch the flight. Wow, so nervous. What can I do? So I have to reschedule and then take so much time to reschedule, to pay money, to do this, to do that. Just waste time and waste money and troubles. It's burden. So sometimes we make a mistake. This is our mistake. I don't know why my alarm didn't ring. I don't know. But if I have a double check again, maybe I did not put okay, right? Because iPhone, maybe we have to save. Maybe I did not save, so it didn't work. So sometimes we suffer because of our mistakes. So do not complain to God, okay? Because we made a mistake. But however, the suffering is good for us to connect ourselves, to make us be mature. So through sufferings, even mistakes, we can learn. And then sometimes, for us, we cannot figure out what reason. But we have to think about, we have to figure out, then we can learn some lessons. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. verse 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14. In the days of prosperity, be joyful. Yes, if in a good day, of course, everybody can be joyful. But in a day of adversity, calamity, disaster, failure, disappointment, or frustration, consider, we have considered, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that the man can find out nothing that will come after him. So the bottom line, we have to fear God. So when we encounter everything, we just think about what God wants me to learn. So if we connect everything with God, I encounter these difficulties, I encounter failure, I just think about why. Then in which area I can improve, you know Bill Gates, Bill Gates in San Jose, right? Your neighbor, just your neighbor, Bill Gates, you live around you, Bill Gates. So you know him, huh? One time Bill Gates said, nowadays, the young people do not take criticism. They cannot take it. If their supervisor says something, try to correct them, most of young people reject the correction, reject the criticism, reject the rebuke, reproach. Of course, rebuke is too harsh for you and for me. We don't like anybody rebuke us because it's bad feeling. But if you can take it, then it's good for us. You can see Bill Gates, why he says such kind of remarks, because this is part of his experience. He take it, then he become successful. So when we encounter anything, we just think, we just connect to God. What God want me to learn from this incident? Then we'll be part of your wisdom. Okay, then we go back, 1 Peter, chapter 4. So we just introduce the sufferings. So since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The suffer have some benefit. The first one is cease the sin. And why through sufferings we can cease the sin? Because our flesh, we live in this sinful society, a sinful society. So in some degrees, we will be polluted by this corruptive society. Okay, you are in school, every day you listen to your instructor's message, your classmate, right? And some of them just talk a dirty talk, right? The conversation, do not join them. How many of you listen to your friend, your classmate talk about a dirty conversation? Raise your hand. You heard, yeah. Okay. Walk away, right? Walk away. Don't join them. It's good. Wow, yeah. Don't join them, huh? Just walk away. Because the flesh, you know, our flesh is a neutral, but very easy to get polluted, to be influenced by this sinful society, especially media, your TV, your iPhone, your internet. So we have to nail our flesh on the cross. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, Then he died, right? He died. Then he prevailed. Actually, in the human being view, he failed, right? He failed because die means nothing, right? So what happened? Because when we were nailed on the cross, then died, you cannot sense, right? You cannot sense. Died. Can you eat anymore? If the people died, can they eat anymore? Of course not, right? Can they smile? No. Can they smell the dim sum, smell the good food, smell barbecue? You know, couple days later, we might have a barbecue. Ah, oh, smell so good, right? Or smell the coffee, Starbucks coffee? No way, right? Because dead. So those any sense. So when we being crucified on the cross, then we will lose any sense of the sin. That's why the sin switch the sin, because have no sense. Even bad internet, bad website, right? No attraction, no influence on us. Because you are dying already, your body, your sense, no sense to the sin, no sense. You know, on the highway, sometimes you can see many posts, many big board for advertisement. And some almost naked, the lady almost naked. So actually, we can see some dirty things with our eyes, because even we do not have intention to see it, but it's very hard to avoid it because this society. But if we cross ourselves on the crucify ourselves on the cross, then no sense. We lost the sense. Nothing to us. So how to do this? We have to crucify ourselves, our lust on the cross. Then second benefit, verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of them, but for the will of God. So we can live in godly life. Live in godly life. And what does it mean, godliness? Godliness means God just like God, right? So whatever we think from God's view, whatever we think from God's view, every day we have to make so many decisions, right? Decision. How to do this, how to do that, how to study, how to eat, how to cook, what you should eat, what you should wear. So many decisions we have to make every day. But if we view all things from God's view, then it will be different. So we live in godly life, and we have a spiritual life. So we live in spiritual life, because we have a spiritual life. Yeah. Because the Chinese is 生命生活, 属灵的生命, 属灵的生活, but in English, spiritual life and spiritual life. First life, yeah. The first life means your body, the life, L-I-V-E. Right? But the second life is a living style, how you live in this earth, So the second thing we can live, if we through sufferings, then we can live in godly life, in spiritual life. Then the third one, eventually, verse 6, verse 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the spirit. So we can be saved one day if we go through the sufferings. But this is our choice. You can reject. And if we reject, we still live in carnally life, worldly life, and it turns out to destruction. But if you follow the spiritually, then we can harvest eternal life. Okay, verse 7. The second part, talking about how we can go through the sufferings. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watch for in your prayers. So we talked about before about seriousness. Be serious. So we do everything. Be serious for God's sake. When we come to attend the service, be serious. So on time, on time. So when you go back to your local church, on time. How many of you attend the service on time every day, every time? Raise your hand. Just attend the service on time. Raise your hand. On time. No. You never. On time. Like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, then at least if on time. Be there, be church on time. So be serious. And verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The cover. In all the Old Testament, there was a mercy, the ark, right? Ark. Then I have two cherubims, have two wings, then cover the ark. We call mercy seat. Mercy seat. Shi en zuo. Mercy seat. Then original text is a cover scene. The cover scene. The mercy seat, the purpose of that is to cover our sins. Because we sin against our parents. We sin against our friend. We sin against even sometimes yourself, myself. We sin against God. But when we go into the mercy seat, we're looking for the grace. We're looking for God to cover our sins. So God covered our sins already. Therefore, we also have to cover other people's sin. So forgive. Forgive others. What does it mean to forgive? Forgive. Forgiveness. Because every day we talk about forgive. Forgive my brother, forgive my sisters, forgive my mom, forgive my father, forgive. And sometimes even you have to forgive yourself. Forgive. So what does it mean? Forgive means release. Release. Let go. Let go. Do not hold a grudge. We talked about last times. Do not hold it. When you hold a grudge, you just like a hold a bomb. One day it will explode. It will hurt, destruct you. Okay. So let it go. Let it go. Release. And the second meaning is give up all claim on account of give up. Of course, if somebody offends you, if somebody offends you, do you have a right to sue against someone? Arun, if somebody offends you, do you have the right to sue, to hire a lawyer to sue against him or against her? Do you have the right? Of course, you have the right, right? If I beat you, do you have the right to against me? Yeah, you have the right to sue against me, right? Okay, to file the lawsuit. But You say, hey, Pastor A, I cancel, I give up all the claim. I cancel it. I give up. I give up. So which means forgive. Because you give up the claim, you have the right. You have the right to file suit against me, right? But you just give up. So it's called forgiveness. And then cease to feel resentment. Of course, if I offend you, okay, in terms of vocal or action or emotionally, I attack you, and you feel resentment against me because I hurt you. Even you didn't tell anybody, you didn't tell me, right? But I hurt you. You might smile at me, right? You might smile at me, but actually you hold a grudge, you hold a resentment in your heart. But forgiveness means you cease, you cut. Don't hold such kind of feeling anymore. Don't hold such kind of feeling anymore. So you cease forgiveness. Yeah. And then cancel the debt. Just like the Bible, Jesus Christ tell us the parables, right? This I think you all know already. Then the last one, is accept. When you forgive me, then you will accept me. You will accept me. Accept my whole totality. Accept me. So it's not easy. And some people say, forgive and forget. Forget. Can you forget? When Joseph's brother sold him to Egypt, did he forget? Huh? No, right? He didn't forget, but he forgive. If forget, then why should I forget and not such kind of things in my memory, right? I forget it totally. Many like old people forgot everything. How come? When you talk to me, hey, before you, I have to say apologize to you. Apology, you know. I'm sorry because last year I offended you. I said something to hurt you. Really? I forgot. When? Oh, last year, during the RSTS. It couldn't be remembered, but I remember. I come here to say sorry to you. Last year, I couldn't remember. Then if you forgot, then it's good, right? It's good, yeah. But usually if somebody offend us or hurt us, you know, maybe always in our mind. Yeah. There is the truth seeker, the female truth seeker, who is 57 years old. When she was a child, she was abused by her father, You know, almost 40 years, 40 plus years, she still remember very detail how her father abused her. She still remember, but she told me she forgive her father. So not forget, it's very tough, but we can do forgive because our father forgive us. So this is between us and God. When I say I forgive you, doesn't mean that you accept or not. Because sometimes we say, oh, I'm sorry. And the other party might say, I cannot take it. You didn't show me anything, right? And even we have to say, until you come to me and say, I'm sorry, then I will forgive you. So conditionally, forgiveness is not right. Forgiveness is unconditional. Unconditional. Doesn't matter if you come to me to say sorry or not. I try to forgive you. Release. Okay. Then also went around without grumbling, without complaint. And a complaint, which means you are not satisfied with someone, not satisfied with your environment, your situation. You feel unfairness, like the pay, right? Why my coworker getting 9 hours per hour, $9 per hour. I only got $8 per hour. It's not a fair, not a fair. Then you complain. Yes, you have a right to complain. You have a right to complain about everything. But yeah, the Bible says, without a grumbling. Then next hour we are talking about how to avoid grumbling. Okay. And then we also finished chapter 5. If you have time, you can read chapter 5 carefully. Okay. Then we kneel down to pray, and we thank God for His guidance.